Turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2. We're beginning a new series of messages today dealing with God's promises. And as Scripture teaches us, the promises of God are yes, and in Him are amen. And we need to remind ourselves of that. And we're going to look at, over the next few weeks, a few instances in Scripture where people responded to God's promises and God answered, sometimes in ways they expected, sometimes in ways they didn't expect. And specifically this morning we're going to talk about how God, in the ministry of His promise, oftentimes surpasses our expectations. Amen? Amen. Let's read our text this morning from Mark's Gospel, chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that He had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And He preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to Him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, He said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in His spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And He said to them, "Why were you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So He said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Let's bow our hearts together. Let's ask God's blessing to be with us as we look to God's Word together this morning. Father, we just glorify Your name and thank You for being with us in our midst today. Thank You for the precious power of Your Holy Spirit and the love of Jesus. And we thank You, God, for Your Word and the ministry of the Word. This morning, as we look to Your Word, especially as we speak about the promises of God, we just ask especially for Your anointing to fill this place. Give words and strength to the speaker, we pray. And give us all ears to what Your Holy Spirit is speaking to us. And we ask this today in Your name. Amen. Amen. I thank God that God is someone who not only died for us, but is someone who lives for us. In fact, as we've been talking about these last few weeks in our last series of messages and talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, not only is Jesus living for us, the Bible teaches us that Jesus is interceding for us right now in the presence of the Father. By the Holy Spirit, God Himself is living in us and through us. And because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and because of the power of His Holy Spirit, God is extending to us many gifts of grace. As I mentioned a few moments ago, if all Jesus did was die and rise from the dead on the third day to give us forgiveness of sin and eternal life, that would be enough. But if you have been serving God for any amount of time, you know God gives not just more than that, He gives so much more than that. When we think about the things that God gives us, the acts of grace that we receive by faith in our lives, they're almost too numerous to mention. We think about the peace of God that passes all understanding. We think about the wisdom that God gives us. We think about the strength that He gives us, the comfort He gives us. And on we can list the things that God gives us by His grace, or demonstrations of grace He bestows upon those who are following Him. But one of the greatest things of God's grace, one of the greatest things that God does in our lives is communicate with us. He's not just a God who is out there, who did his thing 2,000 years ago, and now he's back in heaven just waiting for us. He's active and present in the world, but specifically, he's active and present in our lives. And he's not just there as some power to do different things for us. Because God is a personal God, he is a God who speaks to us. I think I mentioned this a few weeks ago, and in fact, it's something I mention often, but it's something that we need to remember, especially when we read the message of Jesus Christ to the church, the seven churches in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. The Holy Spirit is always speaking to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and not just as a body, through a message. I have come to find, and I thank God, that God is a God, like the old hymn says, who not only walks with me, but talks with me each and every day. God speaks to me by His Spirit, and then, of course, God speaks to His church through His Word. And there are many aspects to the Word of God. The Word of God is a book of righteousness. It's a book of holiness. It's a book of redemption. It's a book of love. It's a book of faith. But the thing that I would like to look at, and a very important thing that you and I need to live in, and believe it or not, some people don't for various reasons, and we'll talk about it later on in the message. The thing that we need to live in as far as our relationship with Jesus and our communication with Jesus is that this is a book of promise. I have two theme scriptures for this entire series of messages, and I won't complete this. This is actually a part one today. I won't complete this message, and we'll finish it up, if not next week, the following week. Next week being a week, just a note about next Sunday's service. Our general superintendent, Dr. George Wood, has called our churches, Assembly of God churches, next Sunday, which is 9/11, to spend time in prayer either in the entire service or part of the service for our country. And we want to join with our sister churches with a unified voice, amen, to seek God for our country. So just want to make mention of that. But today, in speaking about God's promises and regarding the overall theme of these series of messages, two scriptures. The first is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, which reads, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ, and so through Him the Amen is spoken to us by the glory of God." Two things that scripture says regarding God's promises, and there are many. In fact, that's how this verse starts off, is that there are many, many promises within the Word of God, and also from other sources, which we'll talk about in a few moments. But as many promises as they are, all of them are true. I think there's one people, and there are people in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and not only in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, professing Christians, Pentecostal or Spirit-filled believers, who, as far as that aspect of the Word of God, or that dimension of the ministry, let's just not think of it as the Word. It is a ministry of God to man, that of promise. It is a powerful ministry. They have shut off that ministry to their lives. They don't live in the blessing and the power of God's promises. And one reason that they don't is that they have come to experience in the natural world too many times promises that were broken. I think of this in a humorous sense, and I think of this in the best sense. As a pastor, I won't say once in a while, but pretty regularly, you have people within the church who want to do everything, especially if they're brand new to the church. They want to sign up. They want to teach Sunday school. They want to do things on Wednesday night. They want to be involved in evangelism. They want to sing. They want to preach. They want to clean the church. They want to set up tables. They want to cook. They want to clean, you know, everything. And so whenever there's a call to do something, their hand goes up. And there's only, and I love that. And I would never discourage any, well, sometimes I do if I feel that they're overextended a little bit. I don't want anyone's soul to get in trouble, but you don't want to dampen anyone's enthusiasm. But there's one thing I know that's going to happen when I see someone volunteering for too much is at some point, even though they had the best intentions in their heart to do whatever they promised to do because of time or because of other things that are going on or because they just got too much going on, they don't fulfill that promise. Other promises, and I don't fault people for that. In fact, I think that's it's an important learning step in becoming a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ and a minister for Christ, which is something that we've all have been called to become. A good learning thing. So if you keep volunteering, I'm just going to let you go. Amen. But there are other reasons why people don't fulfill their promises. Some not so honorable. Some not so noble. And when that happens, and some of you have had that happen time after time after time, not only from family and not only from friends, but many times within the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone promised, and I think one promise, and we've got to be careful that we don't use this carelessly, is the promise, I will be there for you and I'll do whatever I can. Be sure when you make that promise, you can back that up. And I know there are times that you, for good reason. Sometimes people make that promise in vain, not really considering the depth of making that promise. And so because people have experienced that, when they read promises in the Bible, the promises of God, there's not that expectation that those promises will become a reality in their lives. But God's Word says in the first part of that scripture that the promises of God are yes. Or another way to put that is that they are true in Christ. No matter how many promises that there are in this book, and I don't know how long it would take to go through them. I'm sure we could preach on the promises of God for a month of Sundays and still not scratch the surface. Each and every one is true, because God is not a man that he should lie. And as such, our response to them should be amen. Another way that we could translate or say that word amen, God, so be it, to trust in the promise or the words of God. But our second theme scripture for these series of messages seems unrelated, but it's very related, especially as we will look through different scriptures and different accounts in people's lives. Our responsibility in living in the blessing and the promise, or the blessing and the power of these promises. 1 Corinthians 13:13 reading, now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And as it relates to this morning's scripture, in the promises of God, not only are we to understand that they are true and that we can trust in them more than that we can trust in this physical world that is around us, more than the sun that will rise in the morning, is the fact that not only will God fulfill those promises, but in doing so, exceed our expectations. How do we know? Let's read together Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. What is that scripture saying? It says we can read God's promises. We can believe God's promises. But as people who live under the power and the expectation of that promise, our expectation should be not only that God will fulfill that promise, but he'll do even more, even beyond what we expect through his word. And I think there's one good concrete illustration of that, and that's regarding one of the greatest promises there is in Scripture, that being that of eternal life. Now, what do you think of when you think of eternal life? Well, we think of, in one of the verses that I often refer to, is from the book of Revelation, in heaven there's no more sorrow, there's no more tears, there's no more crying, there's no more parting. 1 Corinthians 13 teaches us that we'll finally see Jesus face to face. In the presence of God, there's fullness of joy. That's pretty exciting. That should be something that we look forward to and give us joy. But the Bible also says, regarding that specific promise of eternal life, eye has not seen or ear heard the things that God hath prepared for who love him. When that promise is finally fulfilled, it will far exceed our expectations. Let's take a few moments this morning. Let's just talk a little bit more about what promises are. And literally, when we look at that word promise in the Bible, it literally means an announcement. But in context, that announcement always relates to a coming blessing or something that is good. A promise isn't a threat. You might in your life have received a threat in the form of a promise. Hey, I'm going to come back, and it's not going to be pretty, and that's a promise. That's not the idea that God is trying to get across here in this word promise. That promise comes from the heart of God, which is love. And the Bible tells us that love casts out fear. I'm not saying that there aren't judgments. True and just are the judgments of God, and those things are also sure, and we're to be mindful of them. But when we're in need, and at some point in our lives, all of us at the beginning of our lives were in need of a Savior, but even afterwards, we're all at different times in need of some kind of promise because we go through some kind of trial, some kind of difficulty where it seems like there's no hope, there's no escape, a situation's impossible. We need something more than just the situation that is before us. We have that. We have a promise before us, and that promise is always relating to something good coming our way. In fact, although the promises of God are many, we can sum up their nature or kind of summarize them by reading Psalm chapter 34, verse 19, which reads, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." And if we were to use just one word to summarize the promises of God, that one word would be deliverance. And the deliverance of God, and we acknowledge this and remember this as we partook of the elements this morning that portray the suffering and death of Jesus, are both natural and spiritual. Promises of God relate to eternal life, that our sin, that we can be forgiven of sin, that God can wipe away our sin and give us the hope of eternity in heaven with him. But also there are numerous promises that relate to living here in this world now, that God will never leave us nor forsake us, that God will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, that God is not only a God who forgives all our iniquities, but also heals all our diseases, and on we go through the many different promises that relate to life in this world. And we also receive these promises from two different places. And what I mean by that, the two different places, or I could also phrase it this way, the two types of promises are explicit promises and implicit promises. And let me share with you what I mean by that. Explicit promises are promises that we receive directly from God, either through his word or from his spirit. And of course, as we've been talking about, this is a book that is full of promises. And I encourage you, if you are going through a very dark and difficult time, the worst thing you can do is stop reading this book. In fact, one of the things you will be tempted to do, in fact, the enemy is going to work real hard on you, and I'm sure many of you know what I'm talking about, is just to get so discouraged in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ because things aren't going your way that you stop spending time with him, including spending time in this book, which among many things is a book of promise. Don't do it. God has a promise regarding your unique situation. But this is not the only source of God's promise for your life. I thank God, as we mentioned a short time ago, that God is a God who speaks present tense to his church today, and not just through sermons and messages to congregations. He speaks by the still small voice of his Holy Spirit to the heart of human beings. If I'm going through a tough financial time, if I don't have money in my bank account for my car payment. I can't look up, you know, John 6 something or other, or Ephesians 8 something or other. In fact, there is no Ephesians 8, so I really can't look it up there. But and find, you know, Randy, tomorrow there'll be enough money in the bank and you'll be able to pay your bill. But there have been times in my life where I was facing situations that I had some general promises that I could hold on to in Scripture. But I also had the unique personal promise of God to me personally. And in my prayer time, or sometimes not even in a prayer time, just God in His grace and mercy in the midst of my worry, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "Don't worry, it's going to be okay. I'm going to do this," sometimes specific, sometimes general, but with the same resounding message of deliverance. God is a God who speaks. And sometimes, and I've had this happen in my life, and I remember one particularly bad time, and I don't want to get too much into detail regarding it, but I was just really having a bad time. And there are sometimes, as a believer, so don't feel bad if you go through those times. It's almost impossible for God to get through to you, either through His Word or through His Holy Spirit. And I was going through one of those times in my life, and God had to move someone to get in touch with me and to tell me that things were going to be all right, and I knew it was God. It wasn't just someone, you know, seeing that I was going through a tough time and telling. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, if you see someone going through a hard time, you know a scripture, share it with them. Not in a disparaging way, or a patronizing way. That would be considered a pat answer. But the Word of God is quick and powerful. Don't ever be ashamed to share the Word of God. They may not receive it. They may receive it as patronizing or disparaging. But listen, God can take that word and does take that word and does great things. But I thank God the Holy Spirit still moves today like He did in the book of Acts and just as He has throughout time. And God can move upon someone's heart to go over to someone and to speak to them a word of promise that, hey, deliverance is coming. Either general or specific, and I've had both happen in my life. Those are explicit manifestations of God's promise. But then, and you might have noticed in the text that we read this morning that really there was no promise mentioned there, just a bunch of people heard Jesus was in town and they went to hear Him. But why do you think they went to hear Him? He, outside of what He did, was just a humble, common man from the little insignificant area of Nazareth. Nothing, as folks would say, to write home about. But they heard that this was no ordinary man. This was someone who could heal the sick. This was someone, and forgive me, I didn't look at all at the chronological and at the chronology of it all. This was someone who could raise the dead. This is someone who had authority over demon spirits. This is someone who can teach the Word of God as no one ever taught. And so they went there, maybe not reading a specific promise in the Old Testament, although they are there regarding what Jesus would do, but with the promise of testimony of God doing things in other people's lives. And so they thought, if they did them in other people's lives, why not me? Listen to the source. And that's why it's so important that we not only be people who know God and who love God, but who worship God together and who are open about our testimony, that we can let people know that God's promises aren't just a nice little book you give to someone on Mother's Day or Christmas to read to make you feel better. They're real. And when those promises are fulfilled, your testimony is, hey, God healed me, God changed me, God delivered me, is a promise to them that, hey, maybe God can do that in my life as well. And so all these people assembled at this house, don't know how little or how big, but there was a great crowd there with the promise, although not explicit but implicit, although not direct but indirect, that God, that this man would do something special for them, and He did. And we need to realize that there is, and I just touched on this, but let me go a little bit further on it, that there is a purpose for you and I not shutting ourselves off from the promises of God. In fact, I think I'm getting a little ahead of my notes, but having broken promises are not the only reasons why we shut ourselves off to that part of the Bible as far as getting us through things. There's another reason as well, and that reason can be summed up in this one short word of time. Now, God has a lot of promises, and as we mentioned, the promise deals with deliverance, that he will deliver. And as we read in 2 Corinthians, that promise is yes or is true. But God never says in what time frame he will fulfill that promise. In fact, this will be a message later on. Some of the promises of God won't be realized till after we leave this world. That still does not give us an excuse not to believe or trust in that. I'm getting a little ahead in my series. That's a couple of weeks down the road. And some people carry their burden, whatever issue, whether it be a sickness, whether it be a relationship, whether it be a sorrow. And how many understand that sorrow is a real thing? Carry it for a long time. And I'm not talking about months or weeks or months. I'm talking about year. And so they've carried this pain, whatever it's spiritual, emotional, physical, mental, whatever it is. They've carried it for years. And because they've carried it for such a long time, and not seemingly nothing has happened, they've made the decision that, oh, I guess God's promises are for some people or not for me, or they're not really true at all. And I think one of the things that exacerbates that is when you're going through something and nothing happens and someone close to you is going through the same thing and seemingly instantaneously everything comes together. It's hard and it's difficult. But let me tell you, time, and one of the individuals that we're going to look at in this series on promises is Abraham. Abraham waited patiently, I might add, at least, well, sort of patiently, until he was a man of 99 years old to receive, in impossible circumstances, I might add, to receive the fulfillment of the promise that God made to him, and that was his son Isaac. Time does not give us the excuse to give up on promise. And not only does time not give us the excuse to give up promise or broken promises from other people, it is critical for you and me to live as people of promise. Not only know the promises of God, but who expect them in their lives. How do we know this? 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Two things. The first thing was actually in our text. Let me reflect upon that first. The promises of God and the fulfillment of those promises deal directly with forgiveness. The lame man that we read about in the opening text this morning came to Jesus expecting to be healed. I don't think they brought him there for what he got, although he got something much better than healing or in addition to healing. But he came for healing. But what did he find that was far greater than the restoration of his physical leg? But forgiveness of sin, the gift of eternal life. On that day, Jesus Christ for his sin. Jesus says the same thing regarding the Great Commission when he talks about, you know, all the wonderful things that he does in this life. Think of Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, one of the last things that Jesus said before he left his disciples, before he ascended to the Father. These signs shall follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out. They will speak with new tongues. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And if they drink anything poison, it shall not hurt them. Was that so that they could just put on a show? So that the gospel may be preached and people find Jesus. Now, I'm not saying people are saved by miracles. You're not saved by a demonstration of God's power. You're saved by the blood of Jesus. But the presentation of miracles does open up people to the possibility that God is here. So it's important in our lives. People need to know that God is alive and is working and moving in us today, because not all people will come to Jesus because they'll feel sorrowful for their sin. Some come to Jesus because their life is a wreck and they want to know there is something or someone out there that can deliver them from their need. And in them seek, just like this man who was lame on the bed, who couldn't even walk up the stairs of this house. If found forgiveness that day. People looking for a financial miracle or a physical miracle will find a greater miracle, miracle of the salvation of their souls. But secondly, verse 4 once again from 1 Peter chapter 1, through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. It's two aspects. The promise of God. And the end result, that, as listed here, is that when we live in the promises of God, it is something that God uses in conjunction with other things to make us more like Him. That's what it means to be partakers of the divine nature, to become more like Jesus. And it happens this way. Number one, there's hope that whatever we're going through, we're going to get through, because God has given us a promise and we can hold on to. And because He has, I can be and I should be faithful to Him, even though things right now in my life are not going my way. Sometimes all God will give you regarding your circumstance is a promise. Because promises are more than just words on a paper. It is the Word of God, which is quick and powerful and sharp, and sharper than a two-edged sword. If we make that step of faith to not only know them, but to embrace them, because it is the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, He gives us the strength to continue to be faithful to Jesus and to serve God, even though we're going through a time that is difficult, that promise that we're waiting for. I'd like to ask Christine if you would come. We're going to talk more about the text in most likely a couple weeks. But in closing today, let's stand together, and we're going to sing in just a few moments. But as we do, let's just bow our hearts before the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we prepare to transition into the altar part of our service today, let's take this opportunity to search our hearts. And I think this morning it's important that we ask ourselves if we've shut ourselves, and maybe not off from all of God's promises, but maybe certain promises of God. You know, I found in my life that there have been times, and this relates to our witness, there have been times when I have been going through things. And listen, you are no different than me as far as your responsibility to be a man or a woman of God. No different. And there have been times that I've been going through a situation where I've needed deliverance, where I was holding on to the promise that deliverance was coming, but it wasn't quite there yet. And then a person came to me in the same exact situation. When I've been physically sick, I've had people come and ask me for prayer. When I was discouraged, I've had people ask me to pray that they would be encouraged. People didn't know what to do. People were fearful, asking for courage, when I myself was struggling with fear. And you know, actually, those were good things for me, because it's kind of like shock therapy. It would shock me out of my fear or discouragement or doubt in God's promises and whatnot. And I would I'd have to step out and practice what I preached. But we can't be people. God will often call you to reach out to someone when you're not experiencing the blessing of His promise, when you're just holding on to the promise. And it's no excuse not to minister and not to bring glory to His name, that, God, I'm not exactly sure how I'm going to pay my mortgage, but I know God's going to take care of your financial need. Your car is on its way. Or, I'm having some family difficulties now with my spouse or my children, parent, whatever it might be, but I know God is able to bring your family back together. Some of you have children who aren't serving God, and people come to you and they say, my child's not serving God. God doesn't want you to give up on them and His promise that your household will be saved, not just for your own sake, but also for their sake as well, so that you can be an encouragement, a genuine encouragement to them. And pray with them, and pray with them, and minister to them, not in weakness, but in power. We also need it for our lives, because one of the greatest not only blessings, but important dynamics of being people who latch on to the promises of God is that of hope, which breeds joy. We know deliverance is on the way. Even though we haven't received it, we can still be happy. Amen? How many of you brides out there, even though you weren't married, were happy because you knew that someday, and grooms too, I shouldn't just limit it to brides. Grooms too were happy because you knew, we're not married now, but the day's coming where we're going to be together. And it fills us with great joy. So it is spiritually. We live under the power and the blessing of the promises of God, which are yes and amen. Let's sing together before we pray together in Jesus' name.